I want us to think about a few verses in Matthew chapter 2. Obviously, there's no new story when it comes to the account of Christ being born, yes? Hopefully you can appreciate that we wouldn't want to be a part of a religion that has the story changing all the time, yeah? So it's the same story, and yet that it's that same story that gives us such hope and encouragement. And so we're going to read a few verses here about the account, and then see if God will help us find some encouragement in it in a fresh way today. So if you're physically able, would you stand? This is narrative, so it's a little bit long, but because it's the account of one of the most phenomenal events in history, I hope that you will read it with that kind of seriousness, yes? So Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembled all the chief priests and scribes of the people, all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for as it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And finally, verse 12, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Amen. Lord, we bow together now and ask you to meet us in the scriptures. We are here today because we want to hear from you. We want our hearts to be engaged by the word of God that you have so graciously preserved for us. Meet us now in the scriptures. And Holy Spirit, engage our hearts, because you have told us that your word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. So engage our hearts, engage our minds, engage us now as you lead us into the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, God bless you. Our subject for today is worship seeks Jesus to worship. Excuse me. Wisdom seeks Jesus to worship. Wisdom seeks Jesus to worship. Now, you will know and remember that we've been considering understanding God's will. And we have seen that understanding God's will is essential if you're going to have a meaningful and a purposeful life. Amen. Today in particular, I want you to see that understanding God's will causes people to seek Jesus. When you know, when you clearly know God's will, he points you to Jesus. Jesus is the only help and hope that we have. And so understanding his will lead you to seek him. Understanding God's will also cause people to worship Jesus, because he's the only one worthy of worship. And he clearly says you cannot know the Father unless you know him, unless you come to him. And so today, I want to begin our time together with this simple statement. Wise people still seek and worship Jesus. Okay? That's the reason our subject is wisdom seeks Jesus to worship. Wise people still seek and worship Jesus. With this, with these few verses that we read, I want to unpack it this way. Two big thoughts. I want you to see that wisdom seeks Jesus and wisdom worships Jesus. Let's begin. Let's dig in. Now, if you get back in Matthew chapter 2, I want you to begin thinking with me this way. God wants, to know God's will means he wants you to obey what you already know. Okay? If you are going to be engaged and grow from God's will, he wants you to obey what you already know. And that's what we see in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Listen to it again. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Okay? They came to Jerusalem, and I want you to see... this word, wise men in the ESV, if you got a different translation that might use the word magi, it's the same thing. Magi from the Greek. What the word literally means in the original etymology is that these men were astronomers, okay? Which means they studied the stars, right? And so these men from the east who studied the stars have come seeking Jesus. Now, you might remember from Romans 1. Romans 1 says that God has revealed himself plainly through nature to all that will see, all that will observe what he has done, right? And as you respond to even natural revelation, then God brings further revelation. Now, here's something that I want you to... this is something really interesting. Biblically speaking, these men are probably from the area of Mesopotamia, okay? You know where Mesopotamia, that's Mesopotamia in biblical times. You know where that is today? That's modern-day Iraq, okay? So these seekers of Christ have come from Mesopotamia to Bethlehem. That's about 1,400 miles, right? From Mesopotamia to Bethlehem, about 1,400 miles. Caravans in this day could travel about 40 miles a day, right? 1,400 miles divided by 40 miles a day is about 35 days, okay? So, think of that. These men have probably traveled for at least 3 weeks or so, 3 or 4 weeks, and... so the level of seriousness is there. They wouldn't have taken this kind of journey if it weren't serious to them. Follow me now. God has revealed truth to them about the birth of Christ. You notice what this says in verse 2. They came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews?" How did they know that? God had to reveal that to them. You remember in Matthew 16, when Jesus had asked who people say that he was, and after talking, responding as to what other people said Jesus was, he asked his disciples, "Now who do what? You say that I am, right?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, right?" You remember what his response was to Peter? "Blessed are you, summoned by Jonah. Flesh and blood, what? Did not reveal this to you, but my Father." And so I'm saying to you that God has revealed truth to these men 1,400 miles away. That The king has been born. The king of the Jews has been born. So they came there knowing that the king of the Jews had been born. They didn't know where he was, but they knew he had been born. Why? Because God had revealed it to them. You need to know when God has revealed something to you. Amen? Now, you know, I will say this. Because the mind of God is so far above ours. You all do remember that in the book of Daniel, we're told that they took these young Hebrew boys into exile, right, into prison. And so as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were taken as prisoners, y'all do know that they were in this area. They were in Mesopotamia. And so it's very possible and plausible that God used Daniel to teach. Daniel was a man that loved God and that would teach anyone that would listen to him, right? So he could have very well taught about Christ and the coming of the Messiah while he was there. God uses people in really mysterious ways. Just because you don't see the result of it doesn't mean that he isn't using you, right? So just be faithful where you are. Regardless of the nature of it, God has revealed to them that the king of the Jews has been born. Now, I want you to observe this. You're back in Matthew chapter 2. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, let's follow this. I want you to notice that most of the local Jews were ignorant. These are the people that knew the scriptures, but they didn't know that Christ had been born. Now, this is really interesting, isn't it? God tells non-Jews 1,400 miles away that the king has been born, but you've got these folks who know the Bible that are sitting right there on top of it, who are totally ignorant to what's going on. You get it? So you got the local Jews were ignorant to it, and the Gentiles were opposed to it. I mean, you got Herod here who's troubled. Why? Why is Herod troubled? Because you just told me what? Another king has been born. And so the Jews are ignorant. Herod is opposed to it and threatened by it. But you notice what? The wise men keep seeking. So it really, you and hopefully you can see right here that when you're obeying what you know, you can't let ignorance stop you. You can't let people opposing you stop you, regardless of how powerful they were. You see, these were, Herod is the king. He's the ruler in this area. And he has the power to physically thwart these men's mission, but they were not going to be, they were not going to stop their seeking because these two obstacles were in front of them. And so here we find that when you obey what you know, God continues to make a way for you. Just obey what you know. Now, let's follow it. I want to go further. When I say you wisdom seeks Jesus, you have to start out with what you know, but then I'm saying to you that God will reveal to you more than you know. When you obey what you know, he'll take you as far, that'll take you far enough, and when you get there, right, he'll reveal more. You see, the challenge for us is that we want to know the end from the beginning, but there's only one who knows the end from the beginning. Yes? God himself knows the end from the beginning. And so he says to you and me, that's the reason he wants us to trust him. So you get, now I want you to follow this. So what I see here is that these wise men obeyed what they knew. Now once we get on to verse 5, look at verse 5. Now he's gathered the religious people together, and they tell the king, you got verse 5, they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then, look at what happens. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time. Now, you see what Herod is doing? Number one, Herod wants to find out where. Now he wants to find out what time. Okay? He separated the groups. He found out where from the Jewish people. He goes back to the wise men and he wants to find out what time, because Herod's got a plan. But you don't need to be worried. You don't need to be overly concerned about people that's got a plan and a scheme against you. Just keep doing what, keep obeying what God shows you, you see? And so then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And then notice this. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word." Now look at this deceptive phrase. "That I too may come and worship him." You know that's a lie. But the issue is, you can't get all entangled up in the people that are trying to get you trapped, caught in a trap. When you're moving in God's will, you just keep moving, okay? So what I want you to see is that God uses religious people to help you along the way. They may be ignorant religious people, but if he uses them, you need to humble yourself. You get it? You see, these religious people knew the Bible. Now, they didn't know what Christ was, or they weren't being led by the Spirit, but God used them to help get information. You get it? Amen. Don't ever get so lifted up that you can't be helped by others, amen, regardless of what you perceive, you see, to be their spiritual condition. You get it? Amen. These ignorant... And I don't mean that in a negative way, but they were ignorant of the truth of what was happening. These people that were ignorant of this truth still had the key to these wise men finding Jesus. Isn't that interesting? So they had to humble themselves and get this information. But you also notice that God uses people in power, people that have money and influence, even if they're against you. You see, Herod brought them all together. He got the information, even though he had a deceptive plan. He got the information and he came and revealed more truth about their search. Isn't that interesting? It was Herod that sent them to Bethlehem. All that they knew at this point is they've come and they're looking. And God uses both the religious community and the government to direct them further on their journey. So for those of you who are all tangled up in knots today about how bad the religious community is or how bad the government is, God uses everything is available to God. Amen. Yes? Amen. Everything is available to God. And you so just keep obeying him. Even religious blindness and ungodly motives cannot suppress truth. That's what I want you to see. When God wants you to know truth, nothing, nothing, nothing can keep that truth from you. But you've got to want to pursue it. Not just to know it. See, to him who is willing to obey, he will know the will of God. You've got to be willing to do something with what you learn. That's the reason I say it begins by obeying what? What you know. When you obey what you know, now God can reveal more. You get it? So, he sent them to Bethlehem, and you notice that God continues to guide them in ways that they understand. I thought this is so wonderful. Can you see that in verse 9? You see it in verse 9? Looking at verse 9. After listening to the king, they went on their way. You see that second sentence? And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. Isn't that interesting? These are men that do what? Study stars. How is God guiding them? He used information that they needed, but ultimately he comes right back and guides them with what they are familiar with. Isn't this so? God is so good. He knows you. He knows how to guide you. Right? Now, and so you don't be threatened by people who know more about the Bible than you. You see? Think about these men. These folks knew way more about the Bible than they did, but they weren't threatened by that. The government had way more money and way more power and way more influence, but they weren't threatened by that. They simply wanted to get the information so they could what? Go back and be guided on their journey. You've got to learn how to stay focused with God's will. Don't get off course. And I'm not, I know it sounds, I'm not trying to make it sound simplistic. But I am saying that we have to, it takes hard work to stay focused. This is a challenge. And anybody here knows what I'm talking about. You're going to always run up against somebody who wants to argue with you and debate and try to throw you off course because they think they understand this better and that better. But you got to know how to stay focused on what God has called you to do. See? Now, that could very well be something come out of that conversation that you can use. But you see, you got to know how to extract that which you can use and move on. You get it? And the people around you, they're always going to try to intimidate you. And they're always clever. Always pretending they want to do something for you. They want to see. But you got to be able to see through that. And if there's some good, take it. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. God uses, he can use anything, anybody, anyone. He's created everyone for his own purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. You get it? God created Judas because he had purpose. He created Pharaoh. He said, Pharaoh is my Pharaoh. He made him so that his glory would shine forth. I don't know how else to say it. Just don't get distracted. When you're seeking Jesus, just keep, learn how to keep moving without letting folks throw you off course. We're good so far? That's the first thing. The last big thing I want to say to you is that not only does wisdom seek Jesus, wisdom also worships Jesus. Now, I see that in verses 10, 11, and 12. And the two ideas that I see here is this. Number one, when you are going to worship Jesus, it certainly must involve joy. Joy is central. Joy is essential. Joy is basic when you worship Jesus. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother William? You got verse 10. When they saw the star. Every time I read this verse, I don't know how often you've read it. Every time I read this verse, it's like, Lord, what in the world is that like? When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Do you ever just think about some verses like that? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. It's enough to say they rejoiced. But look at all the adjectives that he puts on there, right? All the descriptive terms. Not only did they rejoice, but they rejoiced exceedingly and then what? With great joy. That's something for us to think about. You see, you think of what they just left. Left all of the intimidation from people who know more about the Bible than you. All of that, the challenge that you may have had. And then come up on people who have more money and more influence and how that could have demeaned you or made you feel. But once you get back locked in and fixed on Jesus, it brings what? Joy, because all of that doesn't mean anything. You can't fix your eyes on those things and think you're going to have joy. You can't come here to worship and bring all your problems and issues and what's going on in the churches. I don't want to talk about politics. Has no play. I didn't come here to worship politics. I didn't come here to worship false religion. We came here to worship who? Christ. And when you fix your eyes on him, he brings what? Joy. Joy. He's the star, right? He's the what? Bright morning star. It's him. Amen. Fix your eyes on him. Get beyond me. I'm just up here to hopefully help you what? I want to try to point you to him. Because if you look at me, you're not going to have that kind of joy. He's the only one, right? That can bring that. Isn't that right? Amen. Only one that can bring that kind of joy. And so, when you think about that, I'm saying to you that no circumstance in life can continually suppress the joy in seeking Jesus for worship. There's a verse in John 15. I don't know if you remember it. Jesus was teaching, and he said to the disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." Isn't that a great verse? "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full." You get it? He puts his joy in us so that our joy can overflow. It can be full. Isn't that how David said, "My cup, what? Runs over." Isn't that how you want your life to be? I want joy just to spill out so that when I'm around you, you may not have it, but I want to spill out some of the joy so it can spill over on you. You see? Think about that. Everybody's got overflowing with joy. It's just wasting. And that's not the best idea. You don't know that. It's just spilling on everybody. That's the whole idea. That's what worship ought to be. Joy. Now, you got to battle through some stuff. You see, you had to battle through some stuff to get there. And all of us do. All of us got stuff. But you got to battle through that if you're going to worship with joy. You can't get trapped in those things. You got to keep pressing on. You get it? No circumstance in life can continually suppress the joy of seeking Jesus. Seeking or focusing on Jesus brings hope and joy into any situation. That's what I see with that rejoice exceedingly with great joy. How do I say it? As I leave that point, I guess I'd say it like this. There's always joy. There's always great joy, actually, that God gives you when you've overcome deception. Haven't you felt this way at... We talked a little bit in Bible study today. Some of us have been in situations where you were deceived and you didn't even know it right away. You ever had that? See, the devil is clever. He's called a deceiver. And that doesn't mean that you get it right. Sometimes people can lure you. But doesn't the joy come when God finally helps you see through it? Amen. Right? Or see through sometimes... people can be so ignorant with you. And you find yourself in there trying to help them until God finally shows you they don't want help. You ever had that? And then you got joy. You're free because you realize they just want to argue. You ever had people? They don't want to understand. They just want what? Argue. And so I'm saying to you that joy, that exceeding joy comes when you see God finally bring you through it. Bring you through confusion, bring you through conflict, bring you through, because that's the whole idea. He wants you to have joy. Light shines the brightest when the background is dark. So the Bible would say to every one of us, what? Count it all what? Joy when you encounter trials. See, that's when the joy is so real and rich, is when God has brought you through things. He gives you victory over deception and ignorance and dullness in people, opposition from people. Every distraction, he gives you victory over every distraction, because these things come to hinder us from seeking and worshiping Jesus, but God wants us to have joy. And he says to you and me and every Christian, "My joy, I put my joy in you that your joy may be full." Don't give it up. Don't let circumstances continue to suppress, all right? Lastly, not only does worship involve joy, lastly, worship also involves giving. I see that in verses 11 and 12. Now, this is really, really, really important. All of it is important, but if you hadn't seen this before, I just want you to lay hold of it. Number one, when I say worship involves giving, I want you to notice that worship is reserved for Jesus alone. Now, I gather that from verse 11. You got verse 11? Look at the first phrase of it there. "And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped" who? Him. They saw Mary, and I don't know, Joseph may have been there. But you notice who worship is reserved for. Now, this is really, really, really important. Mary got no worship here. Yes? Now, there's no disrespect to Mary. That's not the issue. Worship belongs to Jesus. Respect, yes, for Mary, but not worship. Now, this is important. They saw Mary, and as I said, I don't know who else was there, but they didn't come there to worship Mary or Joseph or anybody else. They came there to worship who? The king. You get it? Now, this is important for those of you who came here today. Just because you didn't hear the right song or the, you know, whatever. What did you come for? Did you come to meet with the king? That's the deal. Because if so, you can experience true worship regardless of what goes on. You can have true worship when you know that Jesus alone deserves worship. Because there, he says, I will what? Never leave you, never forsake you. There's no place you can be that he's not. Isn't that good? He's with you. So worship is reserved for Jesus. Secondly, worship deserves giving our best. You back in verse 11? Then opening their treasures, they offered him. Now notice that. They offered him. They offered him. They didn't offer Mary or anybody else anything. Now again, I'm not impugning. And you understand what I'm saying. Worship belongs to Jesus. And so the offering is for Jesus. Now, we all benefit when Jesus is worshiped, but no one else is to receive this kind of giving. They offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were the best that their country had to offer. These men have traveled maybe a month. But I will guarantee you, they took care of that treasure. I want to ask you something. I don't know. I had a testimony. Did you have a testimony? Whatever. I might have had a testy night. But the question is, did you reserve your best for today? Regardless of what happened last night or last week, did you reserve the best for today? You see? Or did you just bring some of the leftovers? It's really all I'm wanting us to think. What kind of gift did you bring today? Jesus, worship of Jesus deserves giving our best. The best of ourselves, the best of our time, the best of our talent, best of our finances, the best of our intellect, the best of our reverence. Our sacrifice, our ministry. What do you save your voice for? I'm serious. Can you sit through a worship and say nothing? But then, but I'm asking you then, what are you saving your voice for? You see? Now again. This is just for you. This is between you and the Lord. Now, I'm not. There are times that God just has you. He doesn't say anything. I'm not talking about that. But I am saying, if you're saving it for something else, are you going to give your best somewhere else rather than here? And when I say here, I'm saying when you come to worship Jesus. You getting it? Our best. He deserves our best. And then lastly, I see that worship reveals obedience. Now, you might not see that, but that's what I see in verse 12. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now, this is really interesting. Herod really thought he had him. You saw what he did, right? This dude, he finds out all this information for them, right? He discerned from them when they saw it. He discerned from the religious community where he is. And then he gets it all set up and he says, now I'm going to send you down there. And when you find him, you come back and tell me so I can go worship him. Now he might have been convincing to them. But you see, he forgot that there's a God who's in control of this thing. That's what you and I have. When the Bible says trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, that's what he means. You can't see through everybody's deception. And you don't need to. Because our Father, we got a God and Father who what? Will guide us if we are led by the what? Spirit. Isn't this good? And so I'm saying worship reveals obedience. Now, so it doesn't matter that that's the most familiar route. It probably was because any of us, I'm a country boy. So when you go out in the woods, I learned this the hard way. When I was young, I used to just follow my dad. When you're young, you don't know how to hunt. I hunt in the trees. And I just hunt. But you see, my dad is figuring out how we got in there. And he's got to remember how to get out. You understand? And so typically, that's what most of us do. We remember how we got in and we figure that's the best way to get out. But that's not true with God. God brought Israel out of Egypt and took them what? The long way. And not the most direct way. But he had what? Reason. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying worship reveals obedience. When you really worship the Lord, then you will obey him. Jesus says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. And so when it comes to Christ, you just can't lean to your own understanding if you're going to surrender in the real worship that he is seeking from you. I tried to package this in an analogy. Alma and I had to go to Michigan about 3 years ago. I think we were headed to Saginaw. And we were using a GPS system. I think it might have been on the phone. I don't know how y'all travel, but I don't remember if it was on the phone or the car. Anyway, you know how you travel with a GPS, some app. And we were doing great. It's an amazing thing. The apps don't always take you the shortest route, but typically, I've had some weird things happen with apps, but typically they'll get you there, right? So we'd made our way into Michigan, and I took a wrong turn. I didn't realize it until I had taken a wrong turn, but taking that wrong turn cost me a lot of miles. You ever took a turn where you're looking for an overpass and you wonder, I don't know what they did here. I guess they ran out of money or something, but you ever had that? There's no way to get back. Yeah. I mean, it's like they choose the road that you on. Of all of the roads, even state troopers have a, thing. I don't say I disobey the law, but you look for something. There's got to be some kind of way to turn around here. There was nothing. Miles, And of course, all that's running through your mind when you're in a hurry is if I just hadn't made the wrong turn. But then finally, lo and behold, you see one of those overpasses, you get back on there. And I got to travel all the way down there and all the way back. But when we finally saw the right road, you know what I'm saying? Joy. Joy. Because we're back on course. Now, that's really all I'm saying to you. Is that sometimes there are distractions. And that, you don't always feel the best when you get off track. But don't stay off track. Don't stay distracted. People are going to try to distract you. But you've got to know how to get what? Back on course. That's all I'm saying. And when you do that, the joy will come, I promise you. Joy comes when you get back on track. How does the psalmist says, weeping, what? May endure for, what? The night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Yeah, it does. You understand? So God uses many resources to guide those who truly seek to know Christ and God's will. Hopefully you've seen today, God used celestial signs. You see, now don't miss what I'm saying here. I am not encouraging anybody to get into astrology. You understand that? I said these men were what? Astronomers. They studied the stars, and God used, you understand? Don't get this thing twisted at all. I'm just saying that God knows where you are, and he knows how to speak to you, right? And so God can use celestial signs. Are we good with that? I mean, it's his star. Who made the stars? And so he can use celestial signs. He can use people with biblical knowledge to help you. He can use people with worldly power and influence to help you as you seek to know Christ and to know God's will. He can use deceptive people who are actually opposed to what you're doing. He can use them to help you. God can use dreams. And I'm not telling anybody in here to depend on what? Just one. You understand? I'm just saying that he's not limited. He can use dreams. What I'm saying, though, is that we must be discerning to know when God is speaking. Or when it was just a bad piece of pizza or whatever. As a man, woo, there's some dreams. Sometimes some dreams come. You ever had them? And you just wonder, I don't remember any movie. I don't know. Where did that come from? You ever had that? So I'm not saying that God is speaking in every dream. You understand that? But I am saying that he can use dreams. You get it? I'm not saying that God is speaking in all the stars, but I am saying what? He can use stars. You get it? So you have to know when God is speaking to you. Yes? You have to know when he's speaking to you. You have to know how he's speaking. And you need to know this. God, who's the prophet? Elijah, I believe, had to learn. It's not always in the thunder and the earthquakes. It's not always in these mighty, frightening things. Sometimes he can be speaking in just the most gentle, right? The Bible calls it, Old King James, a still what? Small voice. Literally, he was speaking in a whisper. Isn't that good? Sometimes it's just a whisper. But you got to be still. You got to know. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Right? I know them, they follow me. Do you know when God is speaking to you? Not me. Not, people around you. But do you know when? You do know that God can use people around you. But do you know when you've heard from God, regardless of how he used? You get it? You got to know how he's speaking. And you got to know what he's saying. We must be willing and ready to obey what you already know. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. When you know God has shown you something, are you willing to obey it then? Don't wait for what you don't know. Obey what you already know. Amen? You must be willing to face opposition and deception and ignorance and persecution and slander and adversity and any other difficulty in life if you're going to find the joy of seeking and serving the Lord. Jesus said, you're blessed when men revile you and slander you, say all kinds of evil about you, all right? Your reward is great, right, in heaven. Your reward is great in heaven. Now, Paul said it another way. How did he say it in 2 Corinthians? We are afflicted, right, in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You see, that's the whole idea, is that you've got to be willing to face these things in the will of God and not be set back. Not be set back because you had some difficulty and adversity along the way. Nothing compares to the joy of the Lord. This joy that comes from seeking and serving and serving the Lord, this joy that comes from loving and living for the Lord, this joy that comes from being in God's presence. Psalm, 16? In his presence is what? Fullness of joy. His joy gives us strength. The joy of the Lord actually gives you spiritual health. You were made to have joy. You were made to worship the Lord. And so when you're in that place, you actually know what spiritual health is. It's liberating and engaging. Listen to 1 Peter. 1 Peter says this, though we have not seen him, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you have not seen him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Isn't that phenomenal? Even though we haven't seen him, we can still have joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. So my question to you, I said, Brother Willie, it took you a long time to get here. It did. But now this is the question. Where is your joy today? If you were judged on the joy that you expressed today, how would you be judged today? What's the fruit of your life that said you came with joy? You understand? Who or what has caused you to be so distracted that you cannot rejoice exceedingly with great joy today? What's keeping you from rejoicing that way right now? We are God's workmanship, created for what? Good works and worship. So I'm saying, let the Holy Spirit set you free today to see Jesus in a fresh and rewarding way. Seek Jesus today and worship him. Give him the best of your time, the best of your talents. Give him the best of your voice. Give him the best of your intellect, the best of your finances, the best of your expertise. You already know enough of God's will to obey him today. So all I'd say to you is don't hesitate. Don't procrastinate. And if you're not a Christian, you already know that we celebrate the birth of Christ during this season. So you know that he was born. My question to you is, will you obey what you know? He was born with a purpose. Jesus was born to save. He said he came to seek and save the lost. So with what you already know, if you have not come to Christ, today would be the day. Why would you walk away when you know that Jesus came to save you? Why would you walk? You see, you're waiting for more. You're waiting for another sign. There is no other sign. God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only son. That, the sign has already been given. The question is, will you obey what you already know? You are not going to know more until you obey what you already know. But if you will come out of that darkness into the light of Christ, he will show you things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, show you things that have not entered what? The heart of man. But you've got to come. You've got to act on what you already know. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together today thinking about those wise people that seek and worship the Lord. I want to thank you for the grace and mercy on our lives as you brought us to seek Christ when we were so lost. You found us when we were so lost, and by your Spirit you put in us the desire to know Christ. And so we count it all joy, Lord. We give you all the credit. We did not seek him on our own. There's none who seek God. But you sought us out, put that desire in us, and we're thankful today that you put us on this course. We're seeking him only. We know that he deserves our best. So would you work among us now? Be glorified in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.